Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You're listening to Broncos for Breakfast with Nick Kendall and Scott Kennedy.
All right. Welcome in. Welcome in. It is Thursday morning, August 4th, 2022. We are, less than 2 weeks until the Broncos are their first preseason game. I think we have a Hall of Fame game tonight. God, who even knows that, if that is the farthest form from football that we have out here. But welcome in, guys. Excited to be here. Scott, good morning.
Good morning. I think we talked about it a little yesterday. I was like, wait a minute. I actually am a little intrigued in the Raiders and Jaguars. A little bit. And it is football. It's almost like wandering through the desert. What was that one of the Star Wars movies where he comes out, one of the new ones, he comes out of the desert and just dumps his head into the trough. He's like, you know, best water you've ever tasted at that point. Who cares if it's dirty, muddy water that the Banthas are drinking out of or whatever?
I think it was Indiana Jones.
No, well, that was probably one of them too, but this was definitely one of the newer Star Wars when he crash landed his craft into the desert of Tatooine. Yeah. Anyway, enough nerding for the day. We'll nerd on some football here later.
Absolutely. Well, let's get into it. Welcome in. Let's say hello to some people in the chat. Of course, we got Dale in the house. Good to see you, Dale. Always good. I hope you're doing better. Good to see you in here. He says, good morning, Nick and Scott and all of Broncos country. We got With First No Fear. Kind of a newer name in here, but in here again. So good to see us. And good morning, Nick and Scott and Broncos country. Jeremy, not a new name. Old news here, Jeremy. No, it's great to have you, Jeremy. An OG. Good morning, boys. Let's hope for some good padded practice today and no injuries. Sorry, busting everybody's eardrums there, but God, wanted to add that one for you. EJ coming in. Good morning, Nick and Scott in Broncos country. Of course, good to see you, EJ. We got US Dave saying, ugh, I woke up to forging the Falcons time. Well, are you on the Pacific time? Because that is very early.
I don't know if US Dave, I don't remember where US Dave is, but I said, we're here. We're still here. We're ready to chat. Even if you're up, we'll be ready to go. So no problem. Welcome in. And we'll be back here in a couple of, not too long, we'll be adding shows. So next week is still the schedule, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But the week after the first preseason game, you're going to see a lot more of me and Nick.
Yep, absolutely. You're going to see a lot more. Sorry, guys. No, it'll be a lot of fun. Always love hanging out with you guys. And a lot more coffee to be drank as the days are getting shorter. Scott, speaking of the days getting shorter, did you see that scientists discovered the Earth is spinning faster?
I haven't. I felt lighter. You know, I felt like, you know, I was being thrown, like I was lifting up. No, yeah. I haven't. I haven't seen that. I don't know what caused that. What's going on? I'm sure it's the other side's fault. It's their fault.
Got it. Pretty crazy. But you know, also is crazy. How about this giveaway? A signed Javonte Williams helmet. We welcome Pristine Auction as a sponsor to our podcast. PristineAuction.com is the most trusted sports memorabilia auction site with an A+ Better Business Bureau rating. Auctions on PristineAuction.com start at just $1, and each day there are over 1,000 autographed items available, so you win signed, authentic signatures at affordable prices. Just last week, an autographed Justin Herbert jersey sold for just $110. Deals like this are happening all the time over at PristineAuction.com, and they have just about every player you could want, including Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, and so much more. Better check out those Broncos on there as well. Every time on PristineAuction.com comes with a certificate of authenticity from the industry's most reputable authenticators. Upgrade your collection of signed memorabilia today and get $10 off your first item one when you use our code HUDDLE when you sign up today. Again, PristineAuction.com, use code HUDDLE to get $10 off your first item. And that's not all. In addition to $10 off your first item, we are giving away a signed Javonte Williams helmet with the old classic D. Man, that helmet looks so good. To one lucky listener who signs up using code HUDDLE, here's your chance to win. All you have to do is sign up on the website using our registration code HUDDLE to be entered. Links are in the description. Once again, that's our code HUDDLE.
Yeah, that helmet is gorgeous. And one of the beautiful things about it, other than the helmet itself, is in order to get a chance to win it, this isn't a weighted type thing, you know, so, oh, Ethan's going to win it. DWI guy's going to win it because he's always number one. This is a one for one. Everybody's got a chance. You don't have to buy anything. So no purchase necessary. I'm going to enter. I'm going to enter under a burner. I'm sure I'm not eligible. So no, I'm just kidding. I will register because I'm very interested in pristine auctions, but a very good chance to win a gorgeous helmet signed by a budding superstar.
Yeah. God, what a gorgeous helmet. The only way that would be better for me is if it was a Patrick Sertan helmet. I mean, I guess Russell Wilson would be pretty cool as well, but actually a John Elway signed one would be sick as heck. But I digress. That's such a beautiful helmet. I would just take the helmet, honestly. Dave Glassman, good to see you, Dave. Good morning to you. Also, we got Carlos Garcia saying, morning, Nick and Scott. Have a good one. Toyin Williams, good morning. Afternoon, Broncos country. Good to see you. Chris Jenkins, morning, Broncos family. Mike Gibbons as well. Good morning, Nick and Scott. Thank you for always having a great show. Man, we haven't even started yet. We don't know if this is going to get off the rails. This could be the worst show ever. So don't put that pressure on me, Mike. Gosh, no. We appreciate you. Mark, our guy, coming in. Good morning, Mark. I hope you're doing better. Well, we missed you yesterday. If you're in here, that makes me assume that you're feeling a little bit better. But, you know, still sending you good vibes and good morning to you, Mark. Always good to see you. Kenneth Booker in the house. Oh, sorry, Scott. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. And I just wanted to hit up Dave. Dave had come in with some stars, too. So Dave Glassman with the stars, Dave, with the hearts. Love you, Dave. Appreciate you. I think you're getting us off started with the stars today. So number one, first.
Awesome.
First in. Thank you, sir.
We appreciate you so much. In-house, Ryder. Good morning, fellas. If Broncos were trying to sign Barr, why don't they just sign Alexander Johnson? I don't know. That's a good question. Maybe there's locker room stuff. Maybe there's scheme stuff. I'm not sure. Maybe they feel like he's redundant to some of the guys they already have. I guess he's probably still an option out there, but they also brought in Joe Schobert for a workout as well. Now, Joe was a paid big time money, I think 2-3 years ago now, by the Jacksonville Jaguars. Only lasted there for a year. Classic Jags. You want to talk about a team with dead money, the Jags, and they traded him to Pittsburgh, and he's been falling off a bit, but still probably a serviceable camp body, and it'd be kind of fun to see. I mean, we're all pulling for Jonas Griffith, and I haven't seen DWI guys in here, so I guess I can talk a little bit of Big Ten slower white linebackers, but Joe Schobert and Josie Jewell, man, those two had some interesting, from what I remember, I think they played the same time, you know, tackle off battles with Wisconsin and Iowa back in the day. Oh man, I have some serious Wisconsin envy in the Big Ten West. Rakeem Sprinkle, what's good from Atlanta? Good to see you.
Let me hit on that one real quick, because when I think of Barr, and I haven't watched him play like he did. I watched him coming out of high school and college, and I've used him as a, talking about him before, where, you know, I got into a discussion with the UCLA admin about, oh, you don't have the mentality to play defense. I'm like, someone asked me, why don't the Pac-12 have good defense? I'm like, you'll never have good defenses while you're using this guy like Anthony Barr, F-back. Well, he's 6'5", 260 pounds. He always struck me as an outside guy, as an edge guy, where AJ Alexander Johnson is straight inside. Now, I don't know that Barr has been playing inside. I don't think he has, but he doesn't strike me as, it doesn't strike me as the same position at all.
He does a lot of the hybrid stuff where sometimes they put him on the edge. It's kind of what the role that I pictured for Baron Browning, but that's maybe further down the line because there's
so
a lot on
bigger. You know, I mean, it's 6'2", 6'3", versus 6'5", and change. I mean, Barr is at one of those, you know, I mentioned in the chat yesterday with y'all about, you know, Alabama's guys just look bigger. I'm like, they sign the exceptions to the rule. Are the kind of guys, Anthony Barr is one of those guys that's an exception to the rule. He's too big to play linebacker. Well, no, he's not. He is. He's got a different level of athleticism. He's a different type of player. My guess is he's made significantly more money over the course of his career. I don't think of those as, you know, they're not quite apples and oranges, but they're, you know, at least Granny Smith versus whatever red apples there are. So they're different. Yeah. They're different players. I don't think they're in comp.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Competition with one another.
No. Just getting some more bodies up there. It's about the edge room as much as the off-ball linebacker spot. Or excuse me, stack linebacker. Don't want to get you going, Scott.
It's not any better. Putting an adjective in front of a linebacker position that's been around for 120 years is still putting an adjective in front of a linebacker position that's been around for 120 years.
Yeah, but George Payton used it in behind the Broncos. So it's in the... it's in canon now. TD Randall coming in, $2, saying good morning and have a great day. Hashtag Broncos country. Thank you so much, TD Randall. We appreciate you. Rob Bucksbaum, good morning, Nick and Scott. My favorite MHH team. You're too kind, Rob. That's really nice of you to say. Sorry, we got to get you up early for that. Maybe you are up early. You have more time now. So you are a captive audience. That's the best kind. You are, guys, like Rush song, Spirit of the Radio. Begin the day with a friendly voice, a comparison, a companion, unobtrusive. Man,
that's deep thoughts from Rob. Yeah. Bucksbaum. Lawrence has come in here. Actually, it was Miguel, not Lawrence. Says good morning, fellas. 7 days in, what are your biggest surprises? Oh, what is surprising? I don't know. That Albert Okwuegbunam hasn't flashed a little bit more. You know, there's nothing we've heard. That Montrell Washington is still getting a lot of praise.
Yeah,
he was getting praise before the injury. Now he's getting topped up even more because they may need him. But that may be one of the best camp surprises so far of all the things that we've heard to date, for me at least.
I have a couple. One is that it seems like Patrick Surtain has evolved into a somewhat of a demigod level of a cornerback, to the point where, you know, coaches are like, hey man, you got to let us win some reps out here. Actually, we've heard that, which is pretty funny. So Patrick Surtain emerging into just an unbelievable level of player that might be an NFL kind of face on the defensive side of the ball. Man, what a draft that 2021 draft is turning out to be for across the league. That first round, man, incredible. Mm-hmm. And then also another surprise for me is just how much and how consistently it sounds like Baron Browning is flashing at that edge spot. You know, there's a lot of I don't want to call it pearl clutching, but you know, Broncos country really wanted that fast, decently highly drafted, athletic. Yeah. How could you move my linebacker to edge? He did look fine at the stack linebacker last year, but he's got the body frame, athleticism, power, et cetera, to be a pretty good edge rusher. I remember at the Senior Bowl, they lined him up number 5, Ohio State at edge. And he won a lot of reps there down there at that spot. So he sounds like he's been doing really well at edge as well, and excited to see what he looks like in that role. So that's a good surprise, because there's always a little bit of concern when you're moving the guy around so much. You know, are they getting comfortable? Are you putting too much on their plate? Are you having to like flush out what they did before, et cetera, et cetera?
If there is the easiest position you could possibly play and make an impact, it would be designated pass rusher.
Yeah.
You know, yep. It's not run for us, run. It's the defensive equivalent of run for us, run. You know, kick returner, catch the ball, run. Yep. You know, Devin Hester was like that. I had heard that he was like legitimately LD, learning disabled, and had trouble playing wide receiver because he literally had trouble like staying on sides. Yep. He was a run for us, run type. Put him back there, kick him the ball. That's kind of what pass rusher is. You know, forget everything. It's third and down and long. Go get that guy.
Yeah.
You know, okay, let your natural ability take over. That's what you absolutely should do with someone, and I'm not saying he lacks instincts. You've heard me talk about this guy before with Boss Bailey, with Taylor Mays, guys that should have been moved like that. Boss ran into injuries. That the kind of athlete, and he's got experience there, that Baron Browning is, I'm not surprised that he's having success at Edge. I'm not.
Yeah. Now, and just to give a little bit of credit to Edge, you're right. It is more of a pin your ears back position, but you know there is discipline to it, because if you crash in...
I'm oversimplifying, of course.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is more to the chat than to you, Scott. I know that you know, but this is more to the chat, because just want to add a little bit of nuance and context. Obviously, you have to have a little bit of discipline at setting the edge. If you crash too hard, you're going to leave yourself really vulnerable to the outside, and those teams like, God, the Eagles last year, those zone reads, killing you out there. The other part is, and you listen to Von Miller or any great pass rusher talk about it, while it is a pin your ears back position, it's also a very a thinking and a patient man's position as well, because you set up a guy all game long for that one move, and when it's third and five and you need to get a sack or a pressure, you set up that counter. You have it and in your back pocket, and boom, you flash that, and easy pass. You got that offensive lineman tripped up. So, but you're right, Scott. I just wanted to add the nuance, not the chat.
That's also why I didn't just say edge. I said, like DBR, third down long designated pass rush, because then it is, you can still get beat. You don't want to get beat to the outside. That's the worst place you can get beat.
Yeah.
But from a mental standpoint, and, throw him in there, throw him in the deep end and let him swim, the easiest place on the field might be running back and pass rusher to assimilate the quickest, because it's pure athleticism.
Yep. And just for my the conversation of this, we'll say hello to Paul first. Paul Moore, getting my Broncos for breakfast fixed, looking forward to my edification. Well, Paul, hopefully we're getting you edumificatified. What would you say are the more thinking man positions out here? So we're talking about
quarterback without a doubt.
And okay, so I thought you'd say that. Now I'm gonna say sans quarterback.
Yeah, without quarterback. Center and inside linebacker. And then to a certain extent, safety.
You're my guy. That's it. Yep.
Right up the middle. It was said it a zillion times. The farther away from the ball you are, the more athletic you have to be. Typically, the more athletic you have to be, the less intellectual you have to be about the game itself. Wide receiver out wide, see ball, catch ball. When you're inside a little bit closer in the middle, you got to anticipate a little bit more. There's more traffic in there. There's going to be more to see, more pre-snap reads when you're inside. Tackle to guard to center. Bigger athletic, is it tackle? If you can't cut it to tackle, I move you to guard. If you're a really smart guard, they'll play you at center. Or maybe just a shade undersized. Outside linebackers, moving in. The corners are the best athletes on the field. If you're not quite good enough to play corner, they'll move you inside for a slot corner. I'm still talking about a straight four. Yeah. If you've got the size to do it but not quite good enough there, they'll try it safety. If you got the size but not athletic enough there, outside linebacker to inside linebacker to defensive end to defensive tackle. And if you can't play those, you're out. If defensive tackle, they'll move you to offensive line. Yep. That's just the hierarchy of athleticism. And the closer you are to the ball, the more you gotta think about it.
And one more note on that before we get to Dale's comment here. The intelligence aspect of the center position of the stack linebacker spot and of the safety spot is probably one of the reasons that you have so many busts at those positions in the first round, and a reason that you find so many quality starters day two and on. It's because teams are drafting a lot of these guys based on the athletic measurables, which is, much more data driven. It's more precise.
You can measure it. Like you just said, measurables. This other stuff is not measurable.
And that's why you have, no position has busted as much in the first round over the last decade as that stack linebacker, because people are drafting.
Why won't we call it inside linebacker? Why? Middle or inside? That's what it is. Every single one of those guys you're talking about is an inside middle linebacker, and it's been that way for 140 years. Why are we trying to change that?
Because in a 4-3 base,
he's
not
inside.
All three are the inside linebacker then?
No, the one that we're talking about right now is inside. The other guys are outside. Outside linebackers, if they walk up and put their hand on the ground, they're a defensive end or an edge. I really don't get it.
We got to get somebody in here to talk about this. Dale coming in.
It's been middle linebacker, inside linebacker for 150 years of football. Why are we changing terminology now?
I think it's because they're trying to loop in the 4-3 guys that play on the second level of the defense. And
which is okay for me. I'll give you that one, but they're still outside linebackers. They're still outside linebackers. If they walk up, call them an edge. Okay, edge is a new terminology. Okay. We always called them stand-up defensive ends. Same thing.
Yep.
An edge. But every time in this conversation that you have mentioned a stack, it's been an inside guy. Why?
Because we're talking Broncos. Because that's the defense they play. But yeah, I digress. Dale coming in. Some Broncos news. Thank you for helping us here with that, Dale, getting us on track. Nick or Scott, do you know anything about the Darius Shepherd signing? And I know that you had a few thoughts here, Dale. Or excuse me, Scott, before we get going on this.
Just look it up. It was, you know, they worked him out yesterday. They brought in six guys yesterday, three wide receivers. And I guess Darius showed up the most, has some experience in Green Bay. What's funny though is his profile picture looks like he's in a Chiefs uniform. So I guess he spent some time with the Chiefs, played with the Steelers practice squad, Minnesota Vikings practice squad, got some time on special teams and a few targets and receptions with Green Bay in 19 and 20. Still relatively young, 5'11", 186, played out of North Dakota State. Man, there's that team again, Nick.
Yeah,
that North Dakota State and that Northern Iowa. We need to start paying a little bit more attention to those boys up there.
Hey, man, I pay attention to Northern Iowa, being a Hawkeye myself, because they get a lot of the good players that I'm like, oh, why didn't they go to Iowa? I went to the Iowa UNI game back in 2016 or 17 where David Johnson had two receptions for like 70-yard touchdowns and 100 rushing yards. Like, God, why didn't he go to Iowa? Chris Jenkins, though, because the game is changing, it's okay to accept changes, Scott.
It is, but we're not talking about anything that's changed. We're talking about a guy that is behind the line, backs the line. He's a linebacker on the inside. That's who we're talking about. That hasn't changed. Not in the context that we're using it. It hasn't changed. He's still an inside linebacker. Like, oh, behind the line, inside linebacker, stack, off ball. They're all off ball. All inside linebackers are off ball.
Unless they line up as a mug,
and then stacked. Well, then they're standing up. Then they're not lining up at inside linebacker. They're on the line then.
Yeah, yep, yep. Double mug, man. One of my favorites.
We're talking about an inside linebacker. I don't understand the need to make this sound more complicated. It is to make us sound smarter than we are. It's I don't know. It just seems so. What's the word? Pretentious to me.
Oh,
and I don't like it. That's the main reason. So
see, Scott's representing Atlanta, and I'm out here in Seattle drinking my latte. Oh, the off-ball stack linebacker.
Exactly. It just sounds so pretentious. What, you mean the guy that's been playing inside linebacker for 150 years? That guy? Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah.
I think if you accept edge as just the catch-all terminology for that position, then
linebacker. And I do, absolutely. I do, yep. Because normally, because again, it does get a little confusing. Sorry we're going off on this, but we haven't had football yet. It's not quite out of the offseason completely. Because when you talk about a 3-4 end and a 4-3 end, those are completely different players. And the walk-up edge guys, the outside linebackers in a 3-4, are different than 4-3 ends. So I'm okay with that. Those are, but the inside linebackers, an inside linebacker is an inside linebacker. Now, whether you got one or two, you know, that's different, but they're still inside. Still inside. Whether he's a Mike or if he's inside, depends on if he's in a 4-3 or a 3-4. But that's been the same for 150 years. That hasn't changed. Anyway, go ahead.
100%. I'm done. Benjamin Flores, morning, fellas. Hopefully the Raiders lose every single preseason game, and that carries over into the regular season. Hate the Raiders. Have a good day, y'all. Everyone but the Raiders, have a good day. Michael Ronquillo, good morning, Nick and Scott and Broncos for breakfast. Let's ride and go Broncos. John Bagley's in the house as well. Let's ride. Good to see you, John. And Kevin Seven, been a hot second. He says, fellas, I ain't seen y'all in months. We've been here. What's wrong, Kevin? Leaving us on red. He said, started working the night shift and forgot what life was. Happy to catch this one, though. Good to see you, Kevin. And hey, guess what? We haven't seen you, but maybe you've seen us, because you can catch the shows after the fact on YouTube or Apple, iTunes, Spotify, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, if you're busy, you don't have time, but working the night shift, those can be long, I bet. If you have a little time, you put in the earbud, hang out with Nick and Scott. We'll get you through the shift.
Yeah, welcome back, Kevin. It's good to have you, and thank you for the support, my friend. And hopefully you'll, now that the season's cranking up again, you won't be a stranger. So welcome back, sir.
Yeah, awesome to see you. Good morning, lads, from Gabe Engvold. We also got Patrick McCray coming in saying good morning, and Denver for life. Good to see you. Bronco gang saying Bronco Nation, stand up. It's Bronco country, Bronco gang. No, I don't care. Some people get really persnickety about it. You can't say Bronco Nation. It's Bronco country. Whatever, go Bronco. Oh, he got it here. Never mind. You're all forgiven, Bronco gang. You're back in. It was good to see you. We also got Zebulon saying, wishing we signed Dunlap before Kansas City. Yeah, Dunlap would have been a good one, but I'm feeling pretty good about how Browning has standing out so far, and to the point where the Broncos might be looking to trade an edge rusher. We'll see. We'll talk about that here in a bit. Robbie Law coming in saying, how do we win that helmet again? PristineAuction.com. Use the code Huddle to get a chance to get it. So that would
I'll put the link in there. And then for everybody, because again, you want to register. Not only does it help us, it absolutely does. We have selfish reasons for this. It helps us. It helps our sponsor, which helps us have more content for you. But man, it's a cool giveaway. It's a really cool giveaway. So PristineAuction.com/register. And then it'll ask you when you register, how did you hear about us? Choose us.
Huddle. Yep. 100%. Falling Sloth, howdy, Broncos country. We also got Brad D in the house saying good morning from beautiful Montana. Yeah, Montana is certainly beautiful. Juan coming in here saying good morning, boys. Just thought I'll take MHH over Phil Mulhaney and all those other guys. Let's go Broncos, hire MHH. I love Phil. Eric, they do a great job. Good guys. There's a lot of different people doing good stuff covering the Broncos. We really appreciate you coming and hanging out with us, Juan. I'm not going to denigrate or talk down any of those guys, because a lot of people doing good work, and they all bring different flavors to the show, and so does MHH. I mean, even in this small niche, you know, the Chad and Zach show is much different than the Eric and Lance show, is much different than the Nick and Scott show, and Nick and whoever got a they're fun. It's a good time. So we appreciate that, Juan. Very nice of you to say, though. We also got Alex
asked, the NFL has only been around 100 years. Why are you adding 50 years? Because football's been around longer than the National Football League. That's why.
Absolutely. And Dom coming in. Good morning, Nick and Scott in Broncos country. Let's see what practice holds today. No injuries. getting into it, the Darius Shepherd signing, talking about North Dakota State, bringing him in. There are multiple connections here that come to mind, but in my opinion, he's a camp body. You're bringing in somebody to get a rotation here. This is what, his third or fourth team in the league. He's been around for a bit. Happy for him to, you know, get some money and a chance to crack a roster again. But my expectations are not high besides, you know, maybe a few preseason catches and filling out the roster to the extent that they can run the reps in practice that they need to. But the connections to the Broncos, did play for the Packers for a little bit. So there's some Nathaniel Hackett, Justin Outen connection there for the Broncos. But also George Payton coming from Minnesota, the Vikings, when George Payton was there, loved to draft North Dakota State guys and pick those guys up from undrafted free agent. They scouted the heck out of that region. A lot of those, was it the Missouri Valley Conference areas in the Northern Great Plains. So I definitely think this is also not only a Nathaniel Hackett connection, but a George Payton and his scouting team as well, just because the Vikings roots, they were really good at finding under the radar guys ish North Dakota State, somewhat under the radar. In their region.
I mean, they're under the radar for sure. I mean, they've been put on the map here more recently, but we're still not talking about Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia, et cetera here. I mean, no offense, but the Iowas and Auburns of the world, the next level down of, you know, the power schools. If they're not P5, they're under the radar.
Yeah.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yep. Absolutely. You're 100% correct. Maybe I'm a little bit biased because North Dakota State came to Iowa 10 years ago and beat them, and that still stings. And also how many championships they won. And also sending Carson Wentz and Trey Lance to the NFL. I mean, that's pretty incredible.
It's definitely turned into a must-stop place. You must go there for sure.
Yep.
But getting into, you know, checking out those guys in a camp body, what's nice, though, is it's still an opportunity. And again, relationships of all kinds help get you opportunities. It's not really any different in sports than it is in the real world. Basically, every job I've had for the last 30 years, I've gotten because I already knew somebody that was working there.
Yeah.
The trust factor is there. I know what I'm going to get out of this person when he comes in. He's going to be a good professional. I can be honest with him about his chances coming in here, and Darius Shepherd will be very happy for the opportunity to come in. It's a chance for him to come in and earn a job again, and get paid doing it. You know, you still make money. You still get paid while you're doing that. It's not guaranteed contracts for long, but you still get paid while you're doing it. So he's getting a check and a chance to, you know, a chance to come in and do a job.
Yep. Absolutely. It'll be interesting to see. We'll follow him, and excited for real reps on tape coming out here pretty soon. So let's get into this. We also got Andy Schrant coming in here saying, hey guys, sorry I'm late. We were talking about it. God, where the hell is Andy? He's so late. No, it's all good. Saying, sorry I'm late. But what do you all think about the recent intensity of practices? Seems pretty normal to me. I'm glad the Broncos aren't having a crazy amount of fights. Maybe even a little bit less than normal, but you know, they're ramping up.
Yesterday was almost an off day. Yesterday was kind of a walkthrough off day. Now, I don't know if that was a recovery day that was planned, or if it was almost a mental health day of sorts too, where they just kind of combined it a little bit. Nathaniel Hackett talked a little bit about it in his press conference yesterday about how getting those jogging walkthroughs is important for the mental reps. And then Malik Reed in his press conference talked about, he's like, yeah, I feel better than I ever have at this stage, you know, health-wise. So again, the install, that's important. And then a day after losing two guys to ACLs, you'll never hear them admit this, and it may not be one of the factors, but kind of a recovery day mentally, a recovery day physically yesterday, definitely needed. And I expect it to ramp up. I think they go Thursday, Saturday back in pads. It's supposed to, and I would expect the intensity to ramp back up to 100.
Yeah.
Good question, Andy.
Yeah, thank you so much. We appreciate you, Andy. And it's okay that you're late. We also got Max Power coming in with the 2 pounds, saying, honestly, wouldn't trade anyone after the Tim Patrick's injury. Yeah, you're right, because injuries can happen. But this is a good segue into our conversation here, because the Broncos right now only have 4 draft picks, and you're talking about cutting down from 90 to 53. Maybe you're talking closer to the regular season happening, so that way you don't have to go through those reps and injuries and whatnot. But it does seem like some players maybe are starting to emerge as easier to move, assuming no injuries happen at their position. So let's get into it here. And shout out to tomorrow morning's show host, Thomas Hall. He had an article here recently over on Mile High Huddle saying 3 players, 3 prime trade candidates from Broncos camp, and 3 guys that make some sense here for me. So let's get into it. First player here, he lists as Malik Reed, outside linebacker. Oh, no, he didn't list him as an edge. He said, Reed is a valuable player in pass rush situations. He's been a longtime starter, including the entire 2020 season when Von Miller was lost to injury, where Reed finished as a team leader in sacks. Reed could fetch a mid-round pick if offered up in a trade. Maybe. He's playing on a 1-year restricted free agent contract that carries no dead money, and it's relatively inexpensive. A starting caliber pass rusher with manageable contract will be intriguing to teams that need help on edge. Broncos have several players vying for the remaining backup spots at rush linebacker. The team cannot afford to lose players by keeping Reed. Second round selection Nick Benito is a future. Baron Browning has been moved from inside to edge, and the team has been fawning over his ability to get after the pass rusher. They also have Jonathan Cooper and Christopher Allen, who are activated. They also have Brandon Gregory, of course, and Bradley Chubb. So Malik Reed, he to me is the guy that I think the Broncos would be the best served to move on from. But listing a mid-round pick in return for Reed, I think, is a little bit pie in the sky. He was available for practically nothing as original round tender, restricted free agent, as an undrafted free agent. So, I mean, maybe you get a 6-round pick back. Maybe it's one of those things where you get a 5, but you send Reed in a 7. I don't think you're going to get great capital for him, but you get him off the books. You get him an opportunity elsewhere. You do get some picks.
Yeah, what's his number right now? Because when you're talking about trades, one of the first things you want to ask is, you know, how easily are they replaced? And I think Jeremy just said, you know, we kind of trash Reed, but he still ends up with numbers. You know, kind of like the putback guy in basketball. You know, he always seems to clean up the trash and end up with his, you know, how do you get 14 points? I don't remember him even scoring, because, you know, he was in there cleaning up other people's messes. So looking at Malik Reed's number again, if you were worried about his cap number, why'd you sign him? You know, you didn't have to bring him back. He's 2.4 right now. What could you get back for him? I mean, you could have signed him for someone else probably could have signed him for a little bit more than that and just didn't deem it worthy. So again, what can you get in return, and how easily is he replaced? Those are the kind of things you want to ask. If he's very easily replaced internally, then then you're good. You know, hey, I've got a younger, cheaper guy that I feel good about coming in. Jonathan Cooper is going to take his spot. Christopher Allen's going to take his spot. The thing that's a little scary on that, Nick, is you, when you started reeling off those names, all I kept hearing in my head was injury, injury, injury. You know, you're like, okay, well, Christopher Allen. Well, can I count on Christopher Allen? No, I can't. Okay. Randy Gregory. He's not playing right now either. Bradley Chubb. Yeah, we know about Bradley Chubb. So, you know, Malik Reed is a pretty inexpensive insurance policy. There's a lot of numbers there, and we think we're confident that across all of them, we're going to end up with two productive edges on the field at the same time all year. It just may take six guys to do it at any given time. So I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of trading Reed right now. Again, what are you going to get back for him? Is someone else going to pick up the freight? Or, you know, if you don't want Reed, I'll sit back and wait for you to cut down your 53 and I'll sign him for $1 million. You know, so I don't know how much of a trade target he actually would be.
Yeah, no, it's a 100%. That makes sense. Another thing is going against him, though, that compared to those other guys, you're right about the health and productivity. A lot of cleanup sacks, you know, negative impact on the field probably against the run, I would say. Mm-hmm. But it has had sacks, so maybe you get some value from him still. Again, though, I mean, I think the NFL is kind of waking up to value of the edge rusher, because if you just looked at the sacks, you'd think, oh, this is a productive starter. And, you know, nobody jumped at him. But he only has 1 year of control left. And with the Broncos likely, you know, going to get a little top heavy with a Russell Wilson contract extension coming down the line, you want some cheap guys on the back end. And getting rid of Jonathan Cooper in wake of Reed, or getting rid of Christopher Allen in wake of Reed, maybe is not the best long-term answer.
And Reed only has 1 year on his contract because he was only offered 1 year. You know, it's not like he's coming off a 4-year deal. Yeah. He was available to anybody else. That was the point you made to begin with. He was available for a song. No one else really bit. Yep. So if I could have had him for nothing a couple of months ago, why would I trade you something now? Unless I've got an injury, you know, all of a sudden my plans change, which happens, right, Nick? I mean, that could be, you know, I'm going into this thing thinking I've got these four guys at edge. I'm feeling pretty good. I got two guys on my practice squad. Ah, crap. Two of them just went down. So plans do change. Yep. So, you know, that does make sense. From when Reed was available to now, things can change drastically. So I just kind of corrected myself, Nick, for you. So you didn't have to.
Now onto the stack linebacker. No, I'm just kidding. Graham Glasgow coming in next for Thomas's piece, saying, coming to the Broncos via free agency in 2020, Glasgow has been a solid starter, but one could argue he's not lived up to his 4-year, $44 million contract. Suffered a significant injury week 7 last season. Could still be suffering from lingering effects on that injury. Glasgow is currently running with the second and third team in training camp. It appears to be a battle for the right guard position between Quinn Meinerz and Netani Moody. Sounds like Quinn Meinerz has won that battle. Glasgow has some value as a player who can be a backup at center and guard, but he may have more value as a one-year starter on an offensive line needy team. His contract is not unreasonable in the wake of accepting to restructure earlier this year, and if the Broncos are lucky, they could get a late-round pick in a trade. There could be some trepidation in the front office due to health concerns with Billy Turner and Tom Compton, forcing a team to hang on to Glasgow as insurance until those two return. So the issue with my issue here with trading Glasgow for the Broncos is that you get absolutely no cap relief from moving on from him. I think
it's worse.
Yeah.
You know, so I keep hearing Graham Glasgow. And if I think Chris Jenkins came in here a little bit and he said, you know, football 101 from Scott. Yeah, that's it. If we need to go up to, you know, 201 and 202, we're going to have Nick. I'm the remedial course. And the remedial course for finding out who's available is go to SpotRac. Hell, I'll even put the link in there for Graham Glasgow. Here's the link for in the chat, y'all. So I'm dropping in the chat. And if you're listening later, just Google Graham Glasgow SpotRac, and look at that dead cap number, and then look over at the cap hit. His cap hit is 6. His dead cap is 9. So if I get rid of him, he actually costs me money.
Yeah,
you're pretty safe in that regard. You're pretty safe in that regard. So I look down at the next year, and this is what we talked about last year, Nick. It's like there's no way he's playing on the same contract. You look at next year, and his cap hit rises to 14, and his dead cap is 3. Bye. You know, no way. There's no way he plays 2023 on that contract. No way.
Yep.
So I think he's – I can't see him moving on just because it doesn't make any financial sense. It's actually a hindrance. So again, what can you get in return? How does it help you? And how easy is it replaced?
Yep.
You're not going to get much in return. It actually hurts you. And he is easily replaced. He's already been replaced. That's why you can move him on.
Yep.
But you just went, you went 1-for-3 on that number.
Yep. 100%. We got a comment coming in here from Robbie Law saying, who's our tight ends for the starters plans? Really, Fant missed out on a championship run. Really, that wasn't Fant's decision. So good luck in Seattle, Fant. We'll see how it plays out for you here in the Pacific Northwest. Starters for the tight end position, it really feels like the tight end position is dichotomized into three separate roles. And there's obviously a little bit of bleed over in their usage, but I would say pretty obviously these three roles. You have the Y tight ends battling each other, Eric Saubert and Tomlinson there, the more inline attached classic tight end position. Then you have the F tight end, the flex guy, the big slot, move around a little bit more, receiving guy, detached from the line of scrimmage, in Albert Okwuegbunam and Greg Dulcich. And then you have Andrew Beck, more of the H-back type. Now, you might see some of the F tight ends being able to play some of the H's. You might see Tomlinson and Saubert sometimes playing H as well, making Beck a little bit more disposable. But those are the battles to look out for. It does seem like, given how quiet it's been on the Albert Okwuegbunam front, maybe I'm not saying the bell is tolling for him, but Dulcich getting back healthy again and starting to get those reps, maybe is the guy to watch out for there in that role.
There's a couple of those guys. I mean, it's, you know, Albert O was in front of the microphone yesterday, and he's asked, you know, how are you doing in your blocking? He's like, I'm getting better. I'm working on it. I feel good about it. two guys that we've been kind of counting on that we really haven't heard a lot about going into the season are Albert Okwuegbunam, not positively really or negatively, and Quinn Meinerz, not positively or negatively. It's been fairly quiet around those guys. Being that this is a new regime, what does that mean exactly? You know, if they come out and have fantastic years, we know that no news is good news.
Yep.
If they come out and they're buried in the depth chart or not playing very well, we might know that no news is, all right, these guys are kind of on the fringe. So it's one of those kind of wait and see moments. And again, I have picked Albert Okwuegbunam to be a kind of a breakout player this year based on his skill set and his opportunity. And don't waste it, kid. Don't waste it.
Yep. 100%. Hopefully he is standing out. Maybe he's a trade candidate. If he's not leaning,
that's what I'm saying. I started looking at that, and I'm like, you know, is Okwuegbunam an absolute surefire 100% bet to be, you know, to be one of the top two guys to be on this team in a month?
Yep.
90%. Yes, but you know, is it 100%?
If you can get a 6th-round pick for him, and you know you're really happy with Dulcich, and you think, hey, Saubert and Tomlinson are actually really great, and we'd rather have that.
So cheap though, Nick. You know, yeah. I did the look right now. His, you know, his cap hit is $1 million.
No, fourth-round pick. Not about the money. It's about the picks.
Yeah,
it's about getting the picks though. You only have 4 right now, which is yikes. Shiloh coming in here saying, had knee surgeries myself. Feeling for Tim. I see Albert Okwuegbunam and Greg Dulcich filling the void as much as they can. Go Broncos. Definitely possible. Just talking about trading Okwuegbunam, but we'll see. We're going to see the usage here pretty soon in preseason. They're not going to give away the entire playbook, but it will be interesting. Last player here coming in from in Thomas Hall's article, Mike Purcell, being a guy that could be traded. He says, when healthy, Purcell is a monster against the run. This season, he appears to be in good health and ready to return to his 2019 form. The issues are that Deshaun Williams is pushing for the starting role and that the team signed DJ Jones in free agency. With those two players and Draymond Jones locking down the 3 starting spots, Broncos don't have to keep Purcell as a backup. Team has invested draft picks on the defensive line over the last 3 years to bolster the unit. Earlier in the spring, Iuma Uzurike was drafted in the 4th and Matt Henningsen in the 6th. Broncos also invested a 7th-round selection in Marquise Spencer in 2021 and have McTelvin Najim as well. Could be a risky move to go entirely with a youth movement on the defensive line, which may force the team to keep Purcell around. However, if a late-round pick could be obtained for his services, the front office should pull the trigger. I don't think anybody's going to trade for Mike Purcell, given his age and I think like $3.5 million cap hit. You can find big bodies out there pretty typically, and you definitely will find some big bodies after teams go from 90 to 53, but you're not seeing the older veterans that aren't, you know, plus players traded very often at this point. It's the guys who are still on their rookie contracts that are getting some value in return typically this time. Either the Duke Dawson types of trades for your Broncos countries, guys out there who remember that, and gals. I don't think
I want to say real quick, thank you to Shiloh. That feels like a new name. I don't recognize your name. It's fairly unique. So should remember it from here on out, but thanks for coming in green. And hope your knee surgeries, he put plural in there. My friend who's too young to be having knee replacement is trying to talk his doctor into one because his knee just pops out of joint from tearing it up so often. It's the old wounds, man. So Purcell as a trade candidate, you know, he is fairly expensive and you do get $3.5 million in cap relief. His cap hit is actually 4.2, dead cap of $770,000. He's a little bit of a specialist, but his specialist is pretty special. If I can plug in a guy in a 3-4 that can stop the run, you know, and Thomas mentioned guys that are, that they've traded for that have, you know, pushing for those spots. It kind of depends on the scheme and the distance. If I'm third and one, I want Purcell over the center every time. I don't necessarily want DJ Jones or Draymond, you know, over the center. I want Purcell or Deshaun Williams. I want Purcell in there. He's got a little bit more, you know, junk in the trunk, so to speak, where he can be that anchor that I need. And can I afford him? You know, do I need that $3.5 million to do something else? Now, if all of a sudden we bring in, OBJ and he looks fantastic and I need to come up with an extra $2 million of cap money, there's $3.5 million. You might be in trouble. But if I don't need that money right now, I'd just as soon have an anchor in the middle of the line, assuming he's healthy.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. It will be interesting to how it plays out. I know, Scott, you got to get going here. One last guy I wanted to talk about here, NFL.com lead draft writer Eric Edholm recently released an article about the first stringers who could lose starting jobs and potentially be traded or, you know, just a backup. And the Bronco that listed here from Eric's piece is none other than one we talked about as well that I thought might be end up on Thomas's list, Dalton Risner. Eric writes, the 27-year-old Risner has started 47 games in his first three seasons and is one of the more liked Broncos players in the locker room. Also, he should be highly motivated to play well this season considering he's in a contract year. But the outlook for Risner, who has been solid to this point in his career, suddenly seems murky. Netanya Moody has been seeing some first-team reps at guard and might be a better fit for the team's newly implemented zone blocking system. Not sure about that, Eric, but we'll see. Risner makes pretty good coin this season and could be a dark horse trade candidate should Moody clearly beat him out for a starting gig. And I think Moody and Risner, you're talking about trades on the interior offensive line. Those are the two names that stick out to me as tradable, just because Glasgow is, from what I gather, the most liked guy in the locker room on the interior offensive line. And also the contract wise, you're not going to get any draft capital back for him. You're not clearing any cap space. You're probably going to get better back for Risner and Moody. And you can clear more space than the negative cap hit for Glasgow. So those are the two names in the interior that stand out to me.
Yeah. Coach Hackett tried to play down the fact that Moody was getting some first team reps. he said yesterday, he said, everybody needs to work with everybody. We're going to need all the guys. Dalton has done an absolutely incredible job. He's been a guy that has come out there as a leader. He's been great just from flying into the run game to pass protection. So when asked about Moody getting first team reps, he immediately talked up Risner. Now, again, we don't know. We'll learn after this year what this coach speak means in reading between the lines. You know, if he's talking a guy up, he's playing, he plays well. We understand. If he's talking a guy up and he benches him, he's just trying to keep his hopes up because he's about to move him backwards. We don't know all of these things yet. We will learn them because, as we said before, coaches lie so much. They don't call it lying. They call it coach speak. So we've got to get our translator out. We don't quite have it yet with Coach Hackett. So, again, I need the depth there, though, Nick. You know, moving him on, who then, you know, if you've got Moody, Miners, Risner, and Glasgow hasn't been very good. You know, I got three guys for two positions. That's right. That's what I need.
Yep. I think the question then it becomes Tom Compton and Billy Turner's health. Both those guys are also guard potential, especially sounds like Calvin Anderson is starting to lead way at that right tackle spot. And then also you have Luke Wattenberg, who the Broncos traded up for in the fifth round, who's been up and down in camp. But the fact that the Broncos traded up for him in the fifth round makes you wonder if they would not want to put him on the practice squad to have him get poached. So definitely things to consider there. But the ones that stand out for me, if it's you need to have some idea of the health of Compton and Turner.
Right, which right now has been a question mark, and Calvin Anderson is getting talked up a lot.
Yeah, we'll see how that plays out.
Talked up a lot.
Yep. Well, guys, that's going to have to do it for us today. Scott's got to get running. So make sure you're following Scott on Twitter, at Scott Kennedy. I'm at Nick Kendall, MHH. Also, make sure you're following us at MHI_pod and at Mile High Huddle. If you haven't done so yet, join us on Facebook, facebook.com/Mile High Huddle and facebook.com/Mile High Huddle Pod. And of course, subscribe, like, and share over on YouTube. We will see you guys again Tuesday morning, the last Monday without a Broncos for Breakfast show. And we have some more football to talk about, so it's going to be a great time. Everyone have a great weekend. Scott, you have a good weekend, too. I know you got to fly, so if you want to say anything to the people or if you just want to Irish goodbye, it's all good.
Say to the people. Yeah, again, try and register. No purchase necessary. PristineAuctions.com for the Javonte Williams helmet. And that's about it. Great conversation. Appreciate y'all being here today. And one more day closer. One day closer to football.
We're getting there, baby. Everyone have a good weekend. Choose kindness and choose compassion. We'll see you again soon. Go Broncos.
Head on over to milehighhuddle.com for all things Broncos. Good morning, Broncos country.